What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, where we're smoking weed and we're talking mixed martial arts. We are on episode 97. My name is Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
We're coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. On today's episode, we're going to be talking all about UFC 261. We're going to talk about the Whitaker-Gastelum results and a bit about the Tough 21 season that was announced. We're going to be discussing the Triller Fight Club. We're going to talk about the Bellator, the light heavyweight tournament, and a bit more, as well as the PFL, Professional Fighters League, which is kicking off their season 3. Before we dive into combat sports, though, grab your weed, fire it up, and let's get into the weed of the week.
Real quick before we...
Smoke weed every day.
We do that. I do want to say, thank God we're back to what we were at before all this happened. Because since when have we had a show where we can talk about all combat sports and not have to worry about, oh, this one still hasn't started up yet, this one hasn't gone yet, all that shit. But yeah, let's get to the weed of the week.
Now, we got to be honest with everybody listening, Paul. We don't have any new week this week. New weed this week.
We got new week this week.
Because frankly, what we were smoking on, it was so dank, so chronic, we just kept on smoking it. So we got the Blue Dream Haze still, which, dude, honestly, that is some of the best weed I have smoked in a long time. Like, that is some fucking chronic. Yeah. And that in case you missed last week's show, it is Blue Dream crossed with Super Silver Haze. We still have some Thin Mint Cookie, which is a phenotype of Girl Scout cookies. Yes, we've also brought back a little bit of the Platinum OG here, which we've smoked several times throughout this show.
And we always got the AeroPro pens.
I know you got like a raspberry citrus AeroPro in there, right?
Yeah, this shit is intense. I don't remember what the strain was called.
We got the PAX 3 loaded up as well. Now listen, while we're smoking this down, I want to ask you something. Obviously, this weekend there was a lot of combat sports, and we're about to talk about them. But I saw a movie that was so dope. I know I texted you, but you didn't say nothing. I got to bring it up again.
Oh, you're talking about the one with the guy from Breaking Bad?
Got to let our listeners know, too. Seriously. Because I'm going to figure our listeners are fans of the fight game, right? So you might like a fight-centered movie. And you might think that this movie is called Nobody, starring Bob Odenkirk. You might be like, Bob Odenkirk? Saul? Like, he's supposed to be like a badass. I get it. It sounds weird, right? You got to see this movie, bro. That is one of the best movies as far as for what it is, which is a damn good fight.
Tell me what it is, though. What's it about?
Dude, he's a guy, and you can learn this much from the preview, so this is really no spoiler here to anybody. It's called Nobody because he is a guy who's just living in basically a suburban life, right? And he's got a wife. He's got like two kids. Job he fucking hates, he goes to really fucking boring shit. He's kind of like a weak looking dude. He's fairly beta, like people are kind of walking on him a little bit. He's taking a little bit of shit. And then his fucking house gets robbed, and he comes downstairs in the middle of it with two people robbing his house.
Oh shit.
And his son like and him sort of like prevent it, but he doesn't do as much to stop him. He like lets the people go. And his son starts thinking he's a pussy.
Oh, wow.
And then, like, they keep finding stuff in their house that was missing. And, like, this one final thing that's missing, like, sets him off. It's his fucking, like, his little baby daughter's kitty cat bracelet is fucking gone. And, like, that mixed with all the shit that's been happening at his work, which we see in a really coolly edited way. Like, he's just like, that's it. I've had motherfucking enough. Turns out, old boy is not a nobody. He is, I'll just say he's a very specialized type of agent who was sleeping, like a sleeper agent, who did so much bad shit for the three-letter agencies that he was just, like, out fucking. And then we learn his story, and in the meantime, he goes hunting for his daughter's bracelet, and that shit is such a fucking good movie, bro. Like, Bob Odenkirk, I read that he spent, like, 8 months learning how to, like, properly throw a punch and properly do shit.
They said that it took him 2 years to get in shape for that movie.
I believe that, yeah. Because I was just referring to the punching alone. Because, like, he doesn't look cheesy. This isn't a cheesy movie. Yeah. And he's not, like, a superhero. What it is extremely violent, kind of funny. It's not over the top with, like, cheesy one-liners.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like a throwback to those movies back in the day where you just have, like, this badass motherfucker who was kicking ass a little bit, but even better, dude. This was like so much better than Taken.
Really?
Like, it's not a new concept.
Does he answer
you know?
The phone like Taken?
No.
Does he have a special
but
set
it's
of
dope.
Skills?
I'm telling you. He actually, they kind of like play off
make
that
a joke
line.
About it? Yeah.
They make a joke about that particular thing, but he says something
funny.
Different.
That's funny.
Dude, it's I literally wanted to watch it again after I saw it.
What's
I could
it
not
on?
Believe how good it is. It's on right now. You can get it on demand.
Oh, okay.
On, I mean, it's pricey right now. It's that $20 stuff. Unless you know how to, you know, watch movies online, you might be able to find it cheaper. But like, it was in the theaters, and then they just released it digitally. It's still in theaters, I'm pretty sure. Trust me, if you're into any type of movie like that, this one is excellent. I was blown away. I'm probably going to watch it again today.
Do it.
So, Nobody, Bob Odenkirk, check it out. Especially you, Paul. I'm telling you. Nobody. You will be like, damn, Jared, that movie was dope. We should watch it again. But, all right, let's fire this up. Hope you're smoking something good, folks. Let us know in the comments what you're smoking today. And I'm going to hit this this Blue Dream Haze. And let's go ahead. Like, we got a couple of things to recap before we dive into all the upcoming stuff. We got that UFC event here. We saw Whitaker and Gastelum, right? And we got the Triller Fight Club event. Which, if in my opinion, bro, we got the good and we got the bad.
Yeah.
So let's start with the good, which was the UFC for a change.
Yeah. It was good.
Dude, a lot of split decisions on this.
Yeah,
it was like four split decisions in five fights, I believe, which is very odd. Some of them I think they got wrong. But overall, I thought the main event delivered.
Let's start from the bottom. Well, there's three big fights we want to go over.
Yeah.
But from the bottom, like, a perfect example is kind of this Justine Kish versus Tracy Cortez fight. From what everybody else on Earth saw, it was the first two rounds of Tracy hit her with some good shots on the feet, and then she was able to take her down and keep her there for a good amount of time in both rounds.
Kish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was able to keep Kish down.
Yeah, she had dominant control on the back for a lot of the time.
A lot of time. And going for multiple at one point, subs. We thought that she was going to get the choke. But so then we saw out of nowhere, though, at the end of the second round and into the third round, Kish came out of nowhere and started pushing the pace back in her direction, but not in a way where you could have been like, oh, man, she came on hard enough in the second round to win that one and the
third.
You mean
Kish's opponent? I'm confused.
Yeah, I'm saying Tracy Cortez dominated the first two rounds, and then in late in the third and on is when Kish started actually winning the fight.
Hmm.
But the way it was judged was that the rounds were close, which made no sense because in the first two rounds she got took down 6-7 times. Just didn't make any sense. So, I mean, there was like a bunch of fights like that. I felt like it was like
where the judges are going with a split decision after what you felt was a dominant performance.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like perfect example earlier in the night was freaking Luis Peña wins a split decision
over Munoz.
Yeah, when that looked.
I was shocked by that decision. I thought it was a clear victory for Munoz. Like,
once again, though, I think it's that new scoring because like they're treating takedowns like punches, which make no sense. Makes no sense. Takedowns are like punches now. That's technically how you score takedowns now.
But that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all because you're completely
know much about combat sports.
Yeah, you're completely changing the place in which the fight takes. You know where the fight takes place. It's a huge change of momentum sometimes, you know, fucking.
You're going to see, you know, you can see 200-300 punches in a fight. You're not going to see 200-300 takedowns.
No, that's not going to happen.
You can stop a takedown. You can't really stop punches. You might be able to slip a few. You might block one. But overall, you're going to get tagged in a fight.
Eventually, yeah.
Like, unless it's some crazy blowout where somebody doesn't land a punch,
mm-hmm.
like Askren Masvidal.
Yeah.
You're not going to get blanked like that very often. That's a ridiculous thing to score them the same.
Yeah, so.
Maybe that was to blame on some of these crazy split decisions. I thought Munoz got robbed. I thought Kish got beat, but I like her. She's nice. She's a Vegas local. My kid's taken courses from her before.
I like Tracy Cortez a lot.
Tracy Cortez, yeah.
She's a good friend of mine. No, I'm just kidding. She's not. She could be, though.
You'd like it.
Yeah, I would.
You would not be upset if
wouldn't
that
be upset
thing.
If she was a nice friend of mine. Yeah.
No, she seems.
She's dope. She's another one though from a contender series.
Mm-hmm.
See, like there's mixed mixed results with that, you know? Like, sometimes you get those people that are a little too new, then you get people that are, you could just kind of throw them in the mix and see what happens. I feel like Tracy's more of the, like, the latter half, where she looks like she has some promise.
Kish is a legitimate veteran
of MMA. That's a legitimate win. Yeah, that's a real win right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with her in the future. Well, let's talk about someone who we're surprised is part of the present. We had Andrei Arlovski get back in the win column and the quick turnaround after his loss to Tom Aspinall. He picks up a win over Chase Sherman in another fight, which was real back and forth, and you really could have won either way.
I had him winning, and I thought he did well, actually. Sherman's a tough young fighter.
I feel like he just came on with the more volume. Like, Sherman was hitting with some good shots, too.
Yeah, but Andre's chin held up.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I was, not too. Sherman's big. But like, you know, not like we're talking shit, but, I mean, look, he's been hit a lot.
Yeah, he's in his 40s. It's like, come on, let's be real.
Well, he picks up a win there, which was great to see. I like Andre.
Well, perfect example of how crazy it is he's doing what he's doing at this age is I saw this stat that said since 2015, he has never been the favorite in the betting odds.
That's correct. 17 straight UFC fights, he's been the betting underdog.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
It's literally crazy. Nuts.
Make some money off Andre.
He's had some mixes, though. He's had a mix of,
I mean, he hasn't won all those, clearly. But
obviously. He'd be the champion.
You could have scored pretty well on a lot of that betting, I'm sure, just simply betting on
him. Well, and he's had some surprising wins over the years, you know what I mean? Like, when he was able to beat, like, Frank Mir, when Frank was trying to make that final run of the belt, no one saw that coming. That was supposed to be Frank's fight to get before the belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this fight. No one expected him to win this fight.
No, I was kind of bummed he took it when it was first announced.
Yeah, me too. I was like,
I mean, he stepped in on short notice, and I was like, oh, man, I don't want to see Andre get KO'd or some shit. Like, especially coming off. I mean, Aspinall's a real tough fighter.
Well, and that was a tough fight for him as well. You know?
Oh, but he gets a big win there. I mean, big, not like he's going to get a title shot, but I mean, just big for Andre, big for his career, big for his momentum.
Keep it moving.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. And if you're a fan, then that was a great moment. Good for him.
And then, of course, the performance of the night, in my opinion, we had Robert Whittaker just kind of just be a step quicker in every single facet of the game against Kelvin Gastelum.
I felt 185-pound fight, former champ, obviously, in Whittaker.
Mm-hmm.
Former title contender in Gastelum. Gave Adesanya a very tough fight.
This was supposed to be a title fight.
Yeah, about 2 years ago they were supposed to fight, yeah. I thought it was a great fight. Whittaker looked really sharp, Paul. Like, his striking, his movement.
Like I said, I feel like he was just a step ahead in every single exchange, even on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, I was real impressed. A very dominant performance. And basically, and we talked about this last week, if this scenario played out this way, but I think that it solidifies him over Marvin Vettori for the next title shot because of his resume, not only in just his last three wins, but, you know, being the former champ as well.
I think argument Vettori has is Vettori was real dominant in the wrestling game. And from what we saw in the Jan fight, Izzy's not the great. Maybe he had an off night, but prior to that fight, it was, you know, take him down and no one could. But then Jan was easily taking him down. So,
of course, Jan was considerably larger due to Izzy's lack of a weight gain. But Vittori's a big dude as well. It's just what I was going to say. But Whittaker looked really sharp. I want to see him get that title shot. I think he earned it there. Vettori can either take another fight, wait for the winner, in my opinion.
Or you have them fight each other, which I continuously bring up to you.
Yeah, I don't like that. It. No, I just think it kills off a contender. When that we were just talking, what, like 3-4 episodes ago about how there wasn't a good contender.
True.
Now we've got two for now. I mean, always pop up, and it's hard to predict when that'll happen. But for now, if it just plays out this way.
Yeah, true.
Then at least we could somewhat predictably say we get Whittaker, and then Vettori gets the winner if he doesn't take another fight. Or if he does choose that risk, then depending on who he's matched up with, will change that.
That's true.
Well, so overall, that was a pretty good event, I thought. You know, yeah. I don't like the split decisions, but I found the fights mostly entertaining, and I liked having fights of consequence at the top.
Yeah.
That was a consequential fight. Even it being a replacement fight, even though Gastelum was, you know, ranked eighth or whatever to Whitaker's one, it was still world-class fighters there, guys that have been in there for titles.
Yeah. I mean, I do obviously think that here's my problem with Kelvin Gastelum, man. I like Kelvin Gastelum, but ultimately I think he's at the wrong weight class.
I agree. I mean, look, we've met Kelvin in person. He's surprisingly small.
Yeah.
Not trying to talk shit. Like, he's I can't believe he gets there and fights with some of these guys that he does. Like, Michael Bisping is a pretty big fucking dude. Yeah. He fought at 205.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a small man.
Mm-hmm. Chris Weidman, he's
Chris Weidman's
big.
Very large, which you could tell in their fight. Gastelum really should be at what weight class?
Probably I know 170.
Yeah, 170. Same here.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. I think at 170, he's championship caliber. I think at 185, people can argue that he has been in the championship conversation, but I think when he went to 185, he struck when the iron was hot. Look at the fights that he had at 185 to get to the belt, at least. So he lost to Weidman in a fight that some people are like, oh, he rocked him, whatever, whatever. But he ends up losing to Weidman.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets that Bisping fight, which was the former champion, and knocks him out. So it's like in a situation where the belt then gets vacated and given to Robert Whittaker, you have no contender. You get, you know, ultimately you get freaking that fight that was supposed to happen. That falls out. Then you get the fight with Izzy, like all that, like, you know what I mean? All that conundrum of everything that happened in that history with the middleweight championship turned into an opportunity for Kelvin Gastelum.
And he seized it with the knockout of Bisping.
Yeah.
And getting that fight with Izzy ultimately. Mm-hmm.
But then.
And it's a credit that he's made it that far. And because I agree 100%, being that he's really should be at 170. He's fought there before.
That's what I'm getting to ultimately. Yeah. Is then he's had these lackluster performances after. And, you know, people kind of have written him off as far as like the 185 belt, at least for now.
Right.
So why not move to set back to 70 and have more of a, you know, just a fresh view, but not, obviously it's another look at what you were fighting at before and the division and everything like that. Because I just feel like at 185, he's going to keep running into people that are just physically bigger than him.
Absolutely.
And absolutely possibly is. Stronger. I mean, he's a strong motherfucker, but like,
yeah, we're not talking shit about him being weak, but let's be honest. He only missed weight at 70 because of a poor diet, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to be convinced of anything other than that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah. He can clearly lose a few pounds. He doesn't look out of shape. He's not like Roy Nelson or something, but I mean.
But he could get cut up.
He could clearly lose some weight.
Yeah.
And when he was missing weight at 70, he could have clearly lost some fat. Like, yeah. It wasn't like he was shredded, you know, looking like T-Wood or anything. Mm-hmm. So he can do it. I agree with you. He should do it. So Whitaker gets a title shot.
Gastelum,
my friend, should go back to 70.
Yeah.
And revitalize that. He's still got strong power down there. We've seen it in the past.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, I want to talk about the overall production. Not the production, but the commentary team last UFC here on that card. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
It was
Dominic Cruz was breaking stuff down really well.
He was, and Bisping was doing a pretty good job of keeping it fairly centered on breaking down the fight stuff too.
Yeah.
Who was the third man? He didn't
Brandon stand Fitzgerald.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, that's what it was. I couldn't remember his name.
Yeah.
He didn't interfere, like, too often. There's actually moments of silence, which I think is important in a fight. You don't need steady chatter.
Yeah.
But I really noticed a good difference. I mean, talk enough shit about the commentary. I want to point out that I thought that was one thing they had on point.
Yeah.
Just
telling you, I think it's that toxic pair of John Anik and DC, bro. I can't do it. Because John Anik likes to tell the story already because that's his job. But then DC comes in and he likes to tell stories on stories, and then John Anik's telling a story, and then if you pass it to DC, who's supposed to be explaining the thing, and he's telling the story, who's the color guy and who's the fucking...
Yeah, and then suddenly it's 2 minutes later and all we've got is some ridiculous fucking story time going on
here.
And all kinds of actions happen on
the screen. Sometimes when a fight is boring, they can fill the gap, and some of it's good. But a lot of times when there's serious action going on, they're so worried about getting the whole story out that the other person in the commentary team will be like, oh, and he hits him with the right hand. Yeah, but John, his cousin last week won a state title in track, and he was there in the crowd the whole time.
And he trained at AKA with me.
Yeah, like, and I just, you know, those stories are cool sometimes, but they're cool when there's lulls in the fight. When you got two guys taking each other down and neither can pass guard and they're both kind of sitting, yeah, tell a story. Go ahead. But when two guys are fucking trading, nah, we're not telling stories. Sorry.
Someone needs to break that down to DC.
That's what I liked about the whole thing with Bisping and Dominic Cruz. Is another thing is Dominic Cruz was breaking down a lot of the techniques of what was going on. Like, sometimes he gets a little too detailed, in my opinion, because just some people aren't going to understand what you're saying. But for the hardcores, it's...
He gives enough information for casual fans that are tuning in, so they're not just like, okay, so, I mean, they're pressing each other against the cage. Okay, like, why? I really appreciate when they break that down a little bit better. It was quite well. They did that in a lot of ground positions as well.
Yeah,
good shit.
Yeah.
So, kudos to that team. And now let's talk about the other big show, which is put on by what is now known as the Triller Fight Club. And first I'd like to talk about, obviously, what the headliner was. And there's really only one other fight on there that I want to talk about. Then I want to talk about their production. Because we made a big deal out of the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. production, which was their other big event. They've had two now.
Yeah.
Like, I know they've done some shit with Paul before then, but these are like the big things. They've just, you know, they've made some purchases, which we'll talk about as well. But we can't avoid talking about...
I wish we could.
Me too, because I'm really disappointed that even pure MMA sites give it this much traction. But Ben Askren, Jake Paul, the $50 pay-per-view went down.
Yeah. So did Ben.
It was embarrassing. Like, I'm just
Albeit... What a shitty stoppage.
I agree, the stoppage. I mean, if that was just a boxer in there, he would have been waved on clearly. I mean, he was up by six, and then he just stops and starts talking to
Jake. Pushing Jake backwards.
And, like, leaving Ben, who's still standing there fine, so has even more time to recover.
And then he's got his hands up, and he's like, the whole time, what you're supposed to do when you go down in boxing is show the ref you're willing to defend show you're defending your fucking self still. And that's what Ben did. He stood up, put his hands up to the ref. You know, they always grab your gloves. You good? Yeah. All right. Let's go. He grabbed. He said, you good? He said, yeah. And then he turns around to Jake Paul, and he's like, hey, back up into your corner. What are you doing? Turns around. He's like, we can't do this anymore. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Then afterwards, the ref says that it wasn't a fix, and it wasn't a work, and it wasn't premature. He was, quote, preventing a foregone conclusion.
Which means you fucking fixed it. Not fixed, but that's a bullshit. Yeah, that's a bullshit statement.
Look, I'm not some Ben Askren fan here. Like, yes, I was rooting for him. And I don't hate him, but I'm not going to act like I've been riding Ben Askren's nuts. But
yeah, I'm not riding his nuts, but yeah, I feel
like. No, I'm not implying that you were. Like, I know. I'm just saying, like, as an unbiased fight person, basically, I'm really embarrassed for it. Like, let's be honest, dude. When he showed up to the weigh-ins on Friday and looked like that, I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, it was a little rough.
I mean,
a little pudgy bear.
Yeah, he had a pot belly, some nice hip action there.
One thing nobody is talking about is the fact that this fight was also... an extra 20 pounds heavier than what Ben ever competed at.
Yeah, that's what I'm leading to, is obviously he had to get fat in order just to weigh in at 190.
Yeah.
Like, he's clearly not a 190-pound dude.
Yeah, no.
And this leads into more of my problems, which we'll get into when we talk about the production. But, yeah, he gets... I mean, it was a good punch.
It was a good punch. I'm not denying the legitimacy of the knockdown.
He got flattened.
I'm just mad about the stoppage. It was just a shit stoppage.
I agree. So.
And what a shit statement to add to your shit stoppage.
So, yeah, that's what happened.
Trying to stop the inevitable. That's fighting, you fuck.
Yeah, and it's not like Ben is some rookie. I mean, yeah, he's a rookie in the boxing ring, but so is fucking Jake Paul.
Yeah.
He has yet to fight any type of professional boxer.
Ben looks so bad, though.
But Ben...
he's waddling out there. He looked like the Penguin Man.
Well, I guess all those videos of him hitting pads that I was hoping were fucking a troll job were not. That was embarrassing, man. I honestly feel embarrassed for MMA a little bit because...
I mean, why, though?
Like, I'm not talking my life is ruined. I'm just like, damn, that's just a bad look, man.
Sure, it's a bad look, but you have to think, like, that was, like, the ultimate selection of fucking everything. Like, everything was so handpicked, selected in Jake's favor. Like, let's just be honest. He asked a fucking wrestler who he watched get outstruck by another grappler who fucking had zero striking as well, who is 20 pounds overweight, has replaced hip, and has been semi-retired for the last 5 fucking years.
Yeah, so, and completely 100% like, retired for more than a year.
Let's just be honest. Like, I fucking said what I said on the show and said Ben's a fucking professional and he should have won the fight, and all that shit is still true. But to this day, I will tell you right now that every fucking odd was stacked in Jake's favor on that night.
100%, which leads into one of my problems here. How are these becoming sanctioned professional boxing matches?
True.
It's got to be, in my opinion, because fucking Jake Paul is rich.
Yeah, it's like celebrity boxing.
Because Mike Tyson and Roy Jones couldn't get fucking licensed in California, and that was a joke. And you have got this guy who has now fought, he's got a 3-0 professional boxing record, and he has fought one person, Ben Askren, who knew how to punch, and who knew, and he's fought 3 people who don't know anything about boxing. And Ben knows how to fight. Ben's a fighter. He doesn't know shit about boxing. The first 2 guys weren't even fighters. There's a fucking NBA player and another YouTuber, right?
Yeah.
Do you realize that's the equivalent of, like, I don't know, LeBron challenging like a hockey player to like not a basketball game, but like
a track meet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Or like when when Michael Jordan went and fucked around with baseball for a minute, right? Wasn't a baseball player, but they humored him for a minute and he was just okay. It'd be like him going, I don't know, fucking Wayne Gretzky, you want to come play me in a goddamn baseball game? Like, of course Jordan would smoke him. He's sitting there playing with AAA teams.
Yeah.
Playing with a hockey player. What the fuck does he know about baseball? But it's kind of similar. He's got a stick and he hits it, right?
Yeah.
You think MMA is kind of similar. They got fists and they use them.
Yeah.
I don't understand the sanctioning. It's horse shit. You've got this guy. And kudos to him for making money. I respect the hustle here. He's adding to his wealth with this bullshit. How is this a sanctioned fight? Any amateur boxer on this planet, I feel, with any type of experience would smoke this motherfucker at cruiserweight. And I think anybody entering the fucking Golden Gloves and making it past the first round in any state tournament, smoke this motherfucker.
He needs to be careful.
He's not a real fighter.
He's barking up the wrong trees right now.
He's got, 3, maybe 4 years of gym experience?
He's got 3 years of gym experience. No amateur fights. I thought it was 3. He's going to beat up Nate Diaz next, which is a fucking joke.
Nate Diaz has real boxing. He's not like Ben Askren.
Yeah, Nate Diaz boxes with real boxers.
Dude, there's only one person in MMA who I'm a fan of, incidentally, that I think possibly punches worse than Ben Askren. And, Paul called him out, too, and that's fucking Dylan Danis.
You think Dylan Danis has worse striking than Ben Askren?
Unless it's improved greatly. His shit in his first 2 Bellator fights was awful. No,
the first one was bad. The second one was improved.
The second one hangs out in my mind.
Remember, he rocked the dude in the second one with punches.
The first one. Well, he still gets called out. That's the only other person he actually made a real effort to fight with the horrible little stage water balloon bullshit and all that.
Yeah,
he calls out Connor, but Connor don't even give him the time of fucking day.
But you know what? I don't know when they're going to fight because Dylan keeps lying about his knee surgeries. You know that he had a fucking ACL and PCL repair this last knee surgery?
No, I haven't checked in with him on social in a while.
He's been out for a year. Like, he's been out for a year with this.
Yeah, that's why he was telling Askren he couldn't fight him because he's having surgery and shit.
Yeah, exactly. And so,
not Askren, I'm sorry, Paul.
Yeah. And everyone keeps going, nah, he's just being a bitch. Why would he waste his, like, possible future of his career to box Jake Paul one time? Like, I'm sorry. I'm not doing that.
I just, how are these bouts getting sanctioned, though?
Yeah, doesn't make sense to me either.
If it's not his money buying this shit. So, I don't like it. And let's talk about the Triller, because I don't want to talk about that fight anymore, okay? It's over, it's done. Right? You got anything else you want to say about that actual fight? The Askren-Paul shit?
No.
The only other fight I was semi-interested in there was the Frank Mir, Steve Cunningham fight.
Yeah, which Mir looked all right.
Mir did embarrass himself. He won a round on the commentator's cards and I think one of the judges. But he didn't look terrible. He looked like he was in the fight at any time. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't embarrassing.
Which means you know what I liked about that Mir fight, though?
Hmm.
What I'm saying right now you might not like. I think Frank Mir striking in that fight looked better than any bare-knuckle heavyweight I've seen so far. Like, there's been some wild fools, but I think, like, as far as composure, as far as, like, what he can translate over, I think he's going to do fine.
Now, see, I was watching that fight mainly with the transition to bare knuckle in mind, because if you're anybody that's paying attention knows that's what's going on here.
I feel like Frank did a good job physically controlling the fight. Like, Cunningham was obviously getting the better punch. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he's obviously Cunningham was getting the better punches.
Yeah, Cunningham's
better
a former
volume.
World champion. He wasn't just fighting any old boxer here. Yeah. He's
still in great fucking shape. Dude. Yeah. He looked great.
He looked fine.
Yeah. So.
But Mir did pretty good, I thought. I was actually impressed.
Physically, I feel like he's going to be able to. Like, that's one thing in bare knuckle I feel like is a very appreciated part of the game is, like, that not only the clinch, but the ability to control where the clinch goes. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's where Frank's background in MMA and judo and jiu-jitsu, like, that whole camp he's been in wrestling, obviously, he's been a part of, is going to help him in bare knuckle more than it did in boxing.
Frank's hands and his boxing skills were far better than I had anticipated.
Frank used to have a nasty tie clinch, too.
I was just going to bring that up, too, and that translates into bare knuckle. And let's talk about his size for a minute, because he was humongous.
He's
going to
be way bigger than Joey Belcher.
He weighed in at 275 pounds, and he didn't... Frank is this weirdly built guy. Like, he's big, but he's really thick.
He's like Lesnar now. Like, I don't know what the fuck happened in it. I don't know what he's done. I'm not accusing him of anything. But I'm saying between the first time he fought Lesnar and then the fight in between and the second time he fought Lesnar.
Yeah, he was like 218 the first time he fought Lesnar.
Yeah, and he was like Stipe, and now he's like Lesnar.
Like, he's thick as fuck,
thick
man.
As fuck.
Like, it's not like he came in there fat. He was 275. And he's not like super ripped, but dude, he's solid.
He's like a ripped fat dude, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
where
he's not
just
fat.
Like,
he's solid, dude.
He's just
solid. And he's way bigger than the current bare knuckle.
Actually, matter of fact, didn't fucking Frank Mir get kicked out of the UFC for using steroids?
He said it was tainted kangaroo meat, Paul.
Oh, of course.
And that's such a wild excuse.
Him and Alistair Sharon?
He was in Australia, man. He got that fucked up kangaroo meat.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to accuse. Like I said, I don't want to accuse anybody, but that's just what articles have been written about, okay?
Yeah. But I think he can bully some people around in bare knuckle.
That's what I'm thinking. He's
size.
Fucking like.
And he's
I know you have a lot
too.
Of respect for the fucking dude who's a champion at heavyweight there, but
Joey
I think
Beltran,
give him
I think
a
he's
run
legit.
Money.
But I think Frank could come in and beat him.
Well, Beltran fought in the UFC too, and he had
and
some
I think
like
Frank
mixed
beat
results
him too. Yeah,
like,
he fought a light heavyweight and a heavyweight.
And,
Is
there a weight limit?
I think that. Even if Frank, like, cut off a leg, he would not weigh 205 pounds.
No way.
So, Beltran still has that same frame as he had as a 205-er.
Yeah, he's kind of a, like, lanky kind of thin
Yeah,
guy.
I don't remember exactly what his measurements are right now, and I'm not going to look him up, but he's around 6'2". Like, I've met him in person.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was at the fucking... at a weigh-in when I first moved here. It was before you and I started going, and I'm out getting a fucking beer.
Mm-hmm.
And like he comes right up behind me just in line. He was there to watch the weigh-ins and get a beer.
Oh, nice.
Like he was really cool. I bought him a beer.
That's what's up.
And then he was super nice. And that's my Joey Beltran story. But
there you go.
Anyways, like he's a cool dude. That's why I kind of like him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I follow his shit because like I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I think Mir could fuck him up.
I do.
I think Mir could do really, really good in bare knuckle.
That's what the president of bare knuckle was talking about before this fight going in, that he wanted to just see how Frank looked, you know what I mean? I think this was, If I'm him, I'm happy with what I saw.
Dude, I was checking out the pure boxing sites this morning, mm-hmm. and they covered this. They covered Mir's fight, and they all said they thought he looked far better than they expected as well. Yeah. Like, clearly, he got beat. We're not saying he won.
Well, because he's always had a hybrid style.
They thought he did real respectable.
Yeah. He, even in MMA, he was always super hybrid with his style because, like, he was good on the ground, but he also was willing to stand and trade.
Well, you know, and I heard a story about that, Paul, from Chael Sonnen just the other day. Mm-hmm. That he said that back in 2008, so this was when Mir was a legit contender in, mm-hmm. in the midst of like being a wrecking machine, that Mir sat down and told him that like the reason that he's being so successful is that he knows just enough about everything to always have an advantage. Like he's not going to know enough about boxing to be a pro boxer, but he knows enough to be pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Right. But if he's with somebody in the cage who's got better boxing than him, well, that's all right. His jiu-jitsu is pretty, pretty fucking good, mm-hmm. obviously. But if he's in there with a better jiu-jitsu guy, well, then he's got better fucking judo, or mm-hmm. he's got better fucking Thai. He's got, he's got all these little areas where he could just revert to a different strategy that he knew enough in mm-hmm. to give him an advantage. And that's a pretty accurate assessment from an active fighter to
their
skill set.
Well, that's an active assessment of his whole career. If you look at it overall, you can go back to like the Nogueira fights where he was able to, ultimately break Nogueira's arm. But I mean, like in the stand-up in those fights, I feel like he also had the bigger advantage. Look at the Brock Lesnar fight. Brock takes him down, tries to punch him out. He taps him out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, there's been situations in his career where you can see all those have been applied. You know what I'm saying?
And I think that shined a little bit here in the pure boxing scenario where mm-hmm. he could just focus on that he clearly was pretty decent. Not enough to jump in and beat a former world-class fighter.
But if you go into bare knuckles, going into bare knuckle, he's in the right place.
Yeah, Frank Mir's boxing was looking all right.
He's such a big motherfucker, man. Get hit by a bare knuckle of that big-ass hand.
And he's so big, he might have a bit of a shell.
Yeah.
Like when Frank like turns a shoulder.
So is there a weight limit,
man,
though?
I'm not sure on their heavyweights, honestly. Their weight classes are a little wonky and they're still pretty new. But we'll find out. And as he makes his debut, we'll definitely talk about that.
Yeah, true.
Because he's got to have 60 plus, around 60, 55 pounds on Joey Beltran.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's not out of shape. I mean,
he just went 8 rounds.
Yeah, and that's harder than the 5 2-minute BKFC rounds.
Weren't they going 3-minute rounds too?
Yeah, they were. That was a real match. Yeah, real boxing.
Damn. So Frank Mir put that in your cap. You're a pro boxer, brother.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean.
So then that's it for the fights. On there's nothing else worth talking about. And finally, I just want to wrap this Triller conversation up with a discussion about the overall production and direction of what they're doing. Because they're trying to make moves in combat sports. They bought Fight TV, which is a fairly respected name. I mean, Fight TV has been around since 2012, putting on lots of combat sports, wrestling. And they want to keep it, as far as I understand right now, they want to keep it Fight TV and just get more into the more legit boxing and some other things.
Yeah.
But what are they doing with this? The production was awful. That production went from what I thought was excellent in the Tyson event
just a concert.
To what I thought was the pacing was terrible. The camera work that was so good in the first one was shit. The
commentary was shit.
The commentary, man, it makes DC and Anik and their worst look like the best you've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, that commentary was outlandish.
Yeah.
It made no sense whatsoever. I mean, they were treating Weeb like it was seventh grade.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was such a mix. Like the first one had a little bit of music, right?
Yeah.
And I thought it was kind of, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a whole lot of music.
This had like 3 hours of music.
Dude, the first 2 hours, and I double checked this.
Justin Bieber
certain.
Did like a 7-song concert.
Yeah, dude. In the first 120 minutes of the pay-per-view, there was 6 minutes of boxing, and the rest was 6 music acts, and then Ric Flair, and then the slapping shit, and then like you just said, they had Bieber
for like 7. Like he did his whole album.
Yeah, Bieber singing love songs, and then they also had a part which I admit I liked was the, and that's because I'm a fan of all these people, was the Mount Westmore super rap supergroup premiere, which is Ice Cube, E-40, Too Short, and Snoop.
Yeah.
But then they do a whole long set, right? Like, who are they trying to reach here? Like, who's buying this pay-per-view? I mean, let's break it down. The main event is Askren and Paul, right? So you've got Paul's YouTube crowd, right? And you've got MMA hardcores who follow and know who Ben Askren is, basically, right? Mm-hmm. So
mixed with
where Justin does Bieber. Justin Bieber and a rap supergroup of gangster rappers from the fucking 90s mix into that? Ric Flair? You think Jake Paul's friends care about or followers care about Ric Flair? And then Justin Bieber? You think any of us are give a flying shit about Justin Bieber singing love songs before a fist fight? What are they doing, bro? How did they get this far off track from
the first
event?
Here's what they're doing. They're not having Mike Tyson as the main event, first of all.
Dude, they cut away – one final thing. They cut away from an actual boxing match, one of their fights, to follow Pete Davidson walking around the fucking auditorium.
Yeah.
And then he interviews fucking Ben Askren.
Yeah.
He's an SNL comedian, in case you don't know, people listening. Who the fuck is Pete Davidson?
And then fucking over a fake Twitter beef that they had for the fucking, you know, for the thing.
Like, who paid $50 and liked all of that, dude?
You know what? I hate to bring this up, but just to add to that, did you see Pete Davidson ask Jake Paul about his sexual assault allegation?
No, I mean, I couldn't watch all that. I had it on, but it was off, and I'm going to be flat honest to our listeners. I did not pay $50 for that. I found a stream. I'm not giving that crap my money.
Dog. He straight up asked him in the fucking in the locker room, bro.
No.
He goes, so what's going on with that TikTok chick who gave you sad sex allegation against you? Is that going on? Is that real? Is that just bullshit? His fucking lawyer pops up right behind him. He's like, yeah, nothing's going on with that bullshit. That's all fake. That's wow. Like, it's like lawyer was all of a sudden was right behind him, bro.
And that, how about Oscar De La Hoya coming on for the Frank Mir fight?
Super coked out.
That was
calling everyone
jacked.
Out. Calling everyone out. Talking about fighting in a couple months. Like,
I mean, I haven't checked
online. I love Mike Tyson. What?
Yeah.
I said I love Mike Tyson.
He gave a speech to Mike Tyson, who's nowhere in the building and probably not watching. I mean, dude was clearly fucked up.
Yeah, he was
clearly wasted out of his mind.
He was on coke for sure. He was super talkative.
I didn't even find it funny. I'm like, this is like, you're embarrassed. Like, this is not good.
Embarrassing yourself.
Like,
yeah, fuck.
Like, I'm not on your side anyways, Oscar, but dude, this is a bad look, bro.
And then, like, they should have just kept Snoop all the way through because Snoop just keeps it real. A little too real, but he keeps it real.
I didn't mind Snoop so much, but I don't need to hear Al Bernstein with these fucking weed jokes like we're in
Bernstein,
sixth grade, bro.
It was Bernstein, fucking Pete Davidson, Snoop, Mario Lopez, and fucking, what's that other dude who was on the Tyson one, too? Who does WWE and he did Strike Force. Mario Ronaldo.
The only semi-legit guy.
Yeah, he was on there too. Mario Lopez was on there.
Well, not the only
one. Fucking, there was like a couple rappers who came in and out. Like,
it was a shit show.
It was intense. It was like, what the fuck are we watching here?
And all of them just talking nonsense.
Talking bad shit about all the fighters the whole time. Kind of making jokes about them. That shit was funny. Dude, what about that phantom punch, though? That was funny. Dude tried to say he got punched in the nuts.
Yeah, and the only real boxing match that was occurring, like the legit. I mean, that was a legit boxing
fight.
Like of some consequence. And
that dude who was
the
who
dude
won.
Got punched in the gut and then said it was a nut shot and rolled around.
The dude
like
who
a
won
bitch.
Is supposed to fight Lopez next.
Fucking unbelievable, bro.
Yeah,
I was embarrassed for that for boxing a little bit too. I'm like, God damn, y'all are just making a shit show out
dude,
of
dude. My fucking homie Nate texted me. He said right after said, oh. Plus 5,000 nut shot. Let's go. I was like, that was not a nut shot, fool. Watch the replay. He's like, ah, fuck.
Serious. It was clear.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It was terrible.
Like, the whole thing was just an absolute mess.
And how small was the ring, man? Jeez.
Yeah, my God.
Thing was a, like, fucking club fight.
Yeah. For real. That was some, like...
It was like a club fight. Like, fucking... some Friday night fight at the local bar between two guys who are getting paid $50 to go throw down.
Some dusty town south of the border and fucking putting on bar fights in the back that are quote-unquote sanctioned.
Sanctioned, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not. I went from, like, such being, honestly, a fan to, like, I'm like, I don't. Dude, hell no. It was overpriced.
All I got to say is this better not be how they handled the Teofimo Lopez fight.
Better not be, because that is something I will pay for and watch. And I'm not, I don't want to pay, dude. It was cool seeing the little rappers. That was the only shit I actually liked. But I'm not paying $50 to watch shit you can see on YouTube, man.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well,
let's be real.
Thing. That's why I think they did it. Sorry. I think that's why they did it in that one because they're fucking we're playing to the YouTube crowd, so they're trying to play it, put as much YouTube shit, worthy shit that they could in it. Hopefully. Hopefully that's what that was.
I don't know. I mean, we'll never get the official numbers, but Dave Meltzer's been a pretty good source of pay-per-view numbers industry, you know, in combat sports, and I'd be real interested when he puts his estimate out for what this did. Because
there was a lot of big numbers thrown out.
I cannot imagine people – I mean, if I had – dude, I have no shame. I'm not going to say I paid for it. If I had, I never would. I can't even act like I would pay for that.
Can you ask for a refund?
I paid for the Tyson fight and was happy with it.
Yeah.
Fuck, singing their praises, man.
Could you pay – could you call and ask for a refund?
I don't know.
This shit was terrible. Give me my fucking money back. Like our time back.
They took like what I thought was a decent idea, this blending of music and the fighting, and then just went way the fuck overboard with all this entertainment shit.
Way overboard.
It was like somebody's got a Rolodex. It's like and a talent like, show. Call everybody.
Yeah, it was a talent show.
So well, that's it with Triller. That's the recaps. That's the bitching.
Yeah, bitching and moaning.
And then let's get to the exciting stuff. We got a lot of other things to talk about today. Yep. There's a lot of combat sports action coming back, Paul.
Yep. So on Saturday night, also during the during the fight night, we got the announcement of Tough 29. They showed the bantamweight and middleweight contestants.
Two weight classes again. Mm-hmm. Coaches are who?
We got Brian Ortega and Alexander Volkanovski.
So the featherweight title.
Featherweight title fight. Yep.
The fight they got delayed due to the flu. Yep. Not the flu, the
both
the
guys
virus.
Seem real eager to get in there and like help these guys out is what both of them have said. We'll see.
That's good. We'll see. When they first announced these two as coaches, the first thing I thought of, well, that's clearly a last minute thing because only available because the fight fell out, and then like 2 weeks later they're the Tough coaches. So. Mm-hmm. And the season has been announced for a minute. We knew it was coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not hating on it. They're fine.
Yeah.
I might be one of the few people left. Like, I enjoy Tough, bro. I do.
Is it going to be, like, a live show this year?
I hope they don't do the live. That's one season I didn't really care that much for.
Well, think about it, though. They're talking about it's supposed to come out in July, right?
I think it's starting filming or something then. I'm not sure. I didn't.
Oh. But basically what I'm saying is they're saying it's
supposed to
come out this year. So what is it going to be, like, live week to week? Like, they're going to be filming, fucking putting it together and releasing it like a fucking podcast. You know what I'm saying on that end?
You know, like, I follow you, yeah.
Like, is it going to be something that gets taped all the way through and then released and the guys are going to have to keep the secrets and everything? Or is it going to be one of those situations where, because everything is so instant and it's so hard to keep fucking things like that a secret, is it going to be like a week-to-week show?
We'll have to see what happens. I have no idea. Especially with, like, the way everybody's used to being locked down now, maybe it might even be easier to keep a secret.
Yeah, true.
But I don't know. I'm curious.
That is
kind of
dumb, though. It's like they fight the whole season. It's like, oh, I'm not in the finals. You know?
Silly. But I enjoy Tough. I like seeing and learning more about the fighters. I find every time I watch a season of Tough, the fighters I get to know, I always wind up following their career, and I'm a bit more interested when I see their name pop up on a card.
Yeah, one of the guys I used to wrestle with in high school, his name's Ryder Newman. He's a middleweight on the show.
Oh, see, that's awesome. So you got a connection already.
He trains with Francis, so he's over there at
Ngannou?
Yeah, with Couture,
Oh, wait, he's not the guy that was in that video where he was punching Francis in the stomach, is he?
Yeah, and like he helped him a lot with his wrestling over the last, you know, however long they've been working together, which obviously we've seen his shit has definitely gotten better. He was like an All-American and shit when we were in high school, dude. He was fucking good. Wow. He was hella good. But yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to Tough. I think it's cool. So I'm excited about that. Interesting to see what the coaches do. Mm-hmm. Ortega claims to be a bit of a more grown man since the whole blow up with like the zombie and everything, which we don't need to get into. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. I always like it when the coaches care about the fighters, you know. Mm-hmm. So cool.
Makes
cool
it
with
fun
that
for everyone.
Absolutely. Volkanovski, interesting to see what he's like.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty laid-back guy.
Right.
Kind of a bust-your-balls kind of guy.
And I'm sure he's got some interesting training stuff. I mean, he's strong as a fucking ox from his years
strong
of rugby.
As fuck.
Just to remind our listeners, who you might
Dude,
not know, he's
200 pounds.
Yeah, he's the featherweight 145-pound UFC champ, and he used to be a 208-pound rugby professional player.
Yeah. Pro rugby player.
Yeah, so he's got like he's very, very strong. I think, in my opinion, it gives him an advantage. You know, I think his strength has just got to be better and naturally bigger against somebody who is of the same size because he used to be so much bigger. Like his muscles are used to moving around a lot more fucking mass. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. What do I know? That's some fucking stoner science for you right there.
I mean,
well, he was bigger, so when he's smaller, he's stronger.
No, it makes sense because it's just like how power carries, you know?
Yeah,
you have
power
at that weight. When you lose weight, you're not losing that power sometimes. A lot of people, but yeah. You get what I'm saying.
Well, what about Bellator, man?
I was going to say, we missed some Bellator last week, so we got to do a little makeup here.
Yeah, they had that light heavyweight tournament popping off here.
Yeah, it's going full bore here. So, first we had Ryan Bader, who was able to defeat Lyoto Machida in a fight where I thought Bader kind of showed some holes. I think he was easily kept at bay from Machida until he got tired. I think Machida was just so successful with the leg kicks and like his combinations that he was just like a little too trigger happy in the first two rounds and just punched himself out and got taken down for the rest of the fight.
Is that how it went? I didn't see the fight, so
he got took it down
and probably not so many people listening
rounds,
did. So Bader ultimately wins the decision though. And these are 5-round fights, yes.
Yep.
All of the tournament fights are.
Yep.
So I read about the results. I couldn't watch it live, but so you think that Bader exposed himself a weakness in this fight? You think some other people are going to
really
be able to capitalize on that?
Any weakness that wasn't already there though. Like this is kind of his whole career. You know, he's great when he's able to mix, but when he has to stand and strike or, you know, he's not the best. Because you know what? He's like a sprawl and brawl kind of fighter in today's game. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, he either fucking throws huge shots or he's just going to wrestle. Like, you know what I mean? I know that's, again, I'm tripping, not sprawl and brawl, but he's like a wrestler with just good, like, big punches. Like, you don't
his
really see him throw
hands,
a lot
not
of...
Not his boxing, but his striking
yeah.
with his hands. His
you don't see a lot of jabs better. From him. It's like he's walking guys down trying to land big shots, and then if he can't land the big shot, he transitions to the double.
He got some good ground and pound.
Yeah, he does. But he's got, like, smashy ground and pound. But then on the feet, I don't feel like he carries that same, like, pressure. You know
well,
I mean?
He's in this tournament, but he's also still the current heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
He was the champ over there, light, heavy, and heavy. So, but the man who beat him was also on the card fighting Phil Davis, right?
Well, that was this last weekend.
That was last weekend?
Yeah, so we got Vladimir Nemkov, who was able to defeat Phil Davis for the second time, which is a big, big win for him. Because
that's a statement.
The first fight was close, mm-hmm. but I think this fight was a lot less close.
To beat the champ
yeah,
and the current heavyweight champ, and then to follow it up with Davis is a legit world-class fighter.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, so, very
100%.
Impressive.
So, yeah, Nemkov keeps it moving. Bader keeps it moving.
Then we had another – we got Corey Anderson fighting mm-hmm. on there as well, right? Who was
Corey
he fighting?
Corey Anderson, he was fighting – shit. The former – fuck, I forget his name. I'm sorry.
Well, he made short work with the TKO.
Yeah, he just beat the shit out. He yeah. just took him down and beat him bad. It was a former Ryzen champ.
Yeah, yeah. I can picture his name. It's a big long one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like already hard.
Former Ryzen guy.
Yeah.
And he got smashed.
Yeah.
And now that's a couple fights here where Corey Anderson just come out
goes
with the fist.
After it. Yeah. First Melvin Manhoff, now this one.
And so, this is after hearing that criticism from Dana in the UFC that he was like boring.
He was boring,
and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Corey's making a statement. I wonder how he matches up with Nemkov. I wonder if that's what we're going to wind up seeing. Because you think, who does he get the winner of? Do we know that yet?
I think it's, I'm not sure.
Well, we'll talk about it next week as it unfolds.
Well,
we still
have on the 7th of May, we got Rumble versus Yoel, which will give us the whole semifinal lineup.
Rumble Anthony Johnson and Yoel Romero. Yeah. What a fight.
Which is, it's just a battle of freaks. Freak versus
Yoel
freak.
Coming up, which I think is good, That 85, I still was impressive
but
that he made it.
But isn't his loss, his first loss of his career at light heavyweight?
I do believe that is correct, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a little small at light heavyweight, but Rumble's, he's pretty big at fucking...
I'm curious to see how big Rumble's going to be, though. Because Rumble was a bodybuilder in his retirement, and now he's kind of, trying to lose that weight again.
Yeah, his weight's fluctuated all the way up to 285 of solid muscle at one point. 285 pounds of
raw muscle. I
wonder
if
he'll
just go back to that that same physique he had before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he had, more of, an athlete's physique where he had muscles, but he was slim. But, when he retired, he was, first time we ever seen him get, fucking big as fuck. I wonder if he's going to still have that same slimmer build when he comes back.
Be very interesting to see. Mm-hmm. That's a fight I'm really looking forward to.
That's a guy who knows how to cut weight right there.
Yeah, yeah. That's an exciting tournament. I'm liking how Bellator is kind of doing these.
Yeah.
But speaking of tournaments and mixed martial arts, we've got the return of the Professional Fighters League.
Yeah, which is one giant tournament.
It was one giant tournament. If you're listening and you're unfamiliar, that's what makes them unique.
Yeah, they're like a
MMA
season,
landscape.
Like an NFL season. It's a week-by-week basis where it's more comparable to soccer, like World Cup soccer. Like, it's where, people are in pools and they all fight it out and everyone gets points when they win based on if it's like a knockout, submission, or decision. And then those points get them an accumulative score or ranking at the end of the year. And everyone who is in the top eight get in the $1 million tournament on that happens like halfway. I think the season's only like three or six months.
Yeah.
And then they try to shoot for, I don't know if they're going to do it this year because they've started so much later, but usually they end it on New Year's Eve with the championship fights. I don't know if they're still going to be able to do that because it's...
Which the championship fights are all for $1 million.
For $1 million, yeah. Yep.
So it's an interesting format, and we've got a lot of interesting signings. There was a point here... a few months ago when you and I were thinking the PFL just
might
be done.
We were down on that bad,
And
it didn't look well.
They've proven us wrong.
Yeah.
They've made strong signings and come back. And with this opening weekend, I mean, we're going to see a lot of stars. Probably the most notable for us MMA fans is going to be Anthony Pettis.
Yep.
Former UFC lightweight, 155-pound champion.
Yeah.
And famously WEC on the cover champion. Of fucking Wheaties, man, and a WEC champion.
Famous for the Showtime kick.
One of the coolest kicks. It'll probably be eternally one of the coolest kicks.
It's a highlight forever.
In any kicking sport. Not just MMA, any sport where any, like taekwondo, any of your karate shits. Show me a competition kick that's cooler than that.
And the best part is if you've just seen that highlight, you don't know the context.
Yeah.
Because really, after that, he didn't get the knockout. He fought the rest of the fight.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. Benson Henderson's a G, though. That's why. But so
he's
Anthony Pettis is taking on Clay Collard. And, this is kind of like a cornerstone fight, I feel like, for Anthony Pettis. Because if he handles this the right way, comes out and gets the job done, and is able to, kind of be the ruler of this 155-pound division, he's a very marketable person. Like
100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's
and his markability hasn't been used up.
Yeah.
Like he's not like, oh, there's that UFC star rehashed.
Yeah.
Like he's not Do you hear what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
like his moment of shining in the UFC was so fucking momentary, unfortunately for him.
Well, that's what people don't realize. He became such a big star. You would think if you were an outside fan and you saw Anthony Pettis, you would have thought that he was champion for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, he was on the cover of Wheaties.
He was a champion for one fight.
Yeah.
He had one defense and then lost.
Everyone was so on board. He was going to be the future. I mean, you know, Conor ain't on the cover of Wheaties, bro. No, like, like that's a big sporting honor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody, he has so much marketability. Like, if he would reign for a while, he would be a fucking household name, dude.
And that's where I think PFL could possibly cash in, and he could cash in with the PFL.
He's still full of talent.
This is all handled right. No, you know, no diss to Clay Collard, but I definitely think that Pettis is better. Like, as far as, like, his pedigree and what he's seen in there. Collard is obviously a former boxer, so that's why he's got the nickname Cassius. But that's Anthony Pettis' freaking jiu-jitsu is so good that...
And his striking is on point. And he's got a very unique skill set with his striking. And
I think he's going to try to sub him, though.
Yeah, he could very well. I'm really, really rooting for Anthony here.
Yeah.
I would like to see him become a fucking champ in the PFL.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see him become the face of them for a while, that division. I think that'd be great as a fan.
Yep. And then at 145 pounds, we have the two-time PFL tournament champion, Lance Palmer, coming back to take on his former foe, Bubba Jenkins. For those who don't know who Bubba Jenkins is, he's a former NCAA Division I champion in wrestling. And he was a 3-time All-American. He's one of my favorite wrestlers I've ever watched, like as far as like college wrestling.
And he's an experienced MMA veteran as well.
Yeah, exactly.
He was in Bellator. Mm-hmm. He was in that ABC over in Europe, Russia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And him and Lance Palmer had their backs in back and forth in college. Well, not really back and forth. It was a lot of Bubba Jenkins beating Lance Palmer, but you know what I mean? It's one of those situations where it's like, this is Lance's chance to get back at him.
Oh, that's tough. Yeah, and that's a big deal in wrestling, right? You know Lance Bubba wants Jenkins to get that back.
Bubba Jenkins is probably one of, like, the most talented guys I've ever watched wrestle. He was just so effortlessly good at wrestling. Like, and he, like people don't realize, he was in the NCAA finals as a freshman. Like, that's fucking nuts.
That's amazing.
And then, I mean, he had his injuries and, like, things happened. He ends up switching from Penn State, where he was at his freshman year, ends up going to ASU. And then his senior year of college, he pinned David Taylor, who is literally going to the Olympics this year, who is a fucking world champion now, who is sought as, like, one of the greatest, best wrestlers in the world right now. And Bubba Jenkins pinned him in the first period with a fucking roll. It was, like, one of the coolest things I've ever seen as a kid. Like, and, like, I know he's had his ups and his downs in, you know, MMA. But, like, there's something to, I think, having someone's number, like, and you having that, you know, muscle memory of what has happened in the past. Confidence, too. You know what I mean?
While the other guy still got that little bit of doubt. Well, Lance Palmer's very accomplished. I mean, he's a 2-time tournament winner here. Mm-hmm.
Fighting, is he still at, he's still at fucking Alpha Male, right?
Alpha Male. As far as I know, he's still at Team Alpha Male.
Yeah. Well, he had his issues with the PFL, if you guys don't remember.
Well, I do remember, he asked for his release.
Yeah, he asked for his release on multiple occasions, and ultimately it seems like they were able to work it out. But, you know, this is his chance, too, to keep, you know, showing that it doesn't matter how you switch the roster, he's always going to win. You know what I mean? Because that's what they're ultimately, I wouldn't say they're trying to do that, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they're trying to all, like, you know, just continuously make their roster better. So this is, like, Lance Palmer's, like, opportunity to be like, well, doesn't matter who's new in this division and who you brought in to, like, make this division more exciting or entertaining. This is my fucking division. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm excited about it. And I haven't been excited about any PFL season yet. I mean, true. I thought it was an and interesting concept. And it's on ESPN.
So,
I followed the headlines on MMA news sites, of course, and read a few recaps, but I've never actually sat down and watched PFL. I just wasn't, you know, it's a former WSOF, you know, World Series of Fighting, which I did follow. Mm-hmm. But
which has brought some good fighters to the UFC as
they,
well.
They did. I was a fan of that that version.
But now it's kind of a filler the other way around.
Right. But I'm back on board with this season. I mean, I'm actually excited. I'm really looking forward to those two fights, especially, as well as the rest of the cards, the rest of their weight classes have some interesting fights. And they've got fucking Clarissa Shields coming through. Like, she finally got an opponent. And I'm sorry, I don't remember her name right now, but I mean, she's a 3-6 fighter, so she's not obviously super good.
Well, that's
but
what
she's
needs.
Experienced. She's got 9 fights in MMA, so she
she's
knows what
0
she's doing.
And 0, so you know.
Yeah, and that's exactly who I feel Clarissa Shields should be fighting, someone like that, 100%. Yeah. So I think that's a great matchup, and PFL's doing good stuff, man. I'm definitely watching this year.
Yep. So now to the big daddy of them all.
Yep, UFC wind out the show with the
261.
UFC 261, man. This is a good
Usman card. Usman versus Masvidal 2.
I'm not a huge fan of that fight. I don't absolutely hate it, but I am a huge fan of this card. This is a good, well-put-together card. We've got three title fights on board here. Headlined, of course, by the, to me, somewhat strange rematch.
Usman versus Masvidal.
I mean, I see why Usman wants it. He's trying to suck up the last bit of fame that Masvidal is still riding with. Mm-hmm. And what he's probably, he views as a pretty easy payday.
Yeah.
I don't think he's wrong. Mm-mm. I mean, this was short work. We already saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
So let's just start from the top then. Usman, Masvidal, who you got?
Oh, I got Usman.
Yeah, I think Usman wins this.
I think he blanks him again. It'll be a decision and it'll be a complete dominance.
But leave it to George Masvidal to prove us wrong. Probably, maybe. Who knows?
Look, I'm not a Masvidal hater. I really don't like how he's gone with his public persona here over the past
gone
year. He's
sour.
Done a real flip side on his whole
He's gone sour
shtick.
On some fans, for sure.
And yeah, there's plenty of fans that are like, man, fuck this
He went
shit.
From the but, he went from the fuck the system to the corporate America guy who's gone every commercial and every... And it says yes to every money opportunity.
Yeah, run around with Rich Boy, Jake Paul, and
all kinds of
shitting on
like
MMA,
that.
And just avoiding Colby Covington like the plague.
Yeah,
it is what it is. I don't think he has. Yeah, I don't like the fight. I'll watch it.
Yeah,
Usman's gonna whoop that ass. Sorry, George. The other two title fights are pretty damn interesting. Yep. What do we got, Paul?
Co-main event, we got Zhang Weili taking on Rose Namajunas.
Now, this is the women's 115-pound championship, right?
Yes.
And Rose is a former champion and a very favorite fighter of mine. I've been on the Rose Namajunas train since she was in Invicta pulling fucking flying triangles. Like, you know.
But...
I don't really like her in this fight, man. I'm not.
I'm
not
going to
lie, dude, just because I'm a big fan of hers. I don't think she wins here.
Zhang Weili is so tough.
I hope to God she does. I really don't expect it to happen.
Zhang is so tough, man. She's so tough. And, like, I just don't see anything that Rose is going to throw at her that she's not going to be able to handle.
Unless Rose has added some new shit to her game, which is possible.
It's possible.
We haven't seen her in a while. And she is a very hard worker. She trains with a good team, and plus, you know, her significant other is also a former MMA fighter, which just helps, like, because you're getting the MMA at home, too. You're getting the knowledge,
sure.
And they're fucking around.
And he's also in her corner,
Yeah. Like, she's definitely a constantly evolving fighter who could come out and completely prove us wrong. And dear God, Paul, man, I really hope that's what happens. I hope she gets that title back, dude. But you're not going to see me betting on it. And if you ask me who I'm picking, I would have to pick. Zhang Wei.
I'm
rooting for Rose all night, though. So, but the other title fight has another one of my very favorite fighters, Paul.
Well, this is another championship fight that is between two champions, you know.
It's the 125-pound, the flyweight women's championship,
The former champion, Jessica Andrade, taking on
Valentina Shevchenko.
See, you know what I like? I go back and forth with this fight. Not that I think that Valentina is going to lose this fight. No. But what I'm saying is I think that Andrade is the most dangerous fighter she's fought, at least in her last five fights. Obviously, she fought...
Okay, that caveat, I like that caveat. You just put there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying at this weight class, 125. Take her 135 career,
okay, yeah,
throw
yeah.
it in the garbage. I'm talking solely her 125-pound chapter of her career. This is her toughest fight at 125 pounds so far. Don't get me wrong. Joanna was tough, but I never thought Joanna was going to go out there and knock her out. Joanna's not that kind of, like, fighter, and they had fought before, and, like, they had that history. This fight is brand new, and Andrade has a lot of power and explosiveness in her movements. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying the way she would beat Valentina would have to come from somebody like a Jessica Andrade, who is going to try to go out there and knock her head off. You know what I'm saying? Which ultimately could be an even more masterful performance for Valentina, because what does someone like Valentina love? Someone who's going to come charging at her. You know what I'm saying? So I do think Valentina is going to win this fight, but this is the most dangerous of her opponents at 125 pounds.
I agree with that assessment. Andrade is very dangerous. She has that. It sounds so cliched, but it's cliched because it's a thing that's real. Is that real. That puncher's chance?
Yeah,
she is powerful.
Well, not only that, she's powerful with her slams and stuff. If Valentina, she is. That's how she won the belt ultimately against Rose. Rose took a break in between and found herself slammed on the side of her head. She couldn't control getting knocked out in that fight. If something like that happened to Valentina, no one's going to write a paper the next day saying Valentina has no chance in a rematch against, you know, someone like that. You know what I'm saying? There's just situations where I've seen Andrade pull off knockouts where I just didn't see them coming. You know what I'm saying?
Not to take anything away from Andrade, but a lot of that knockout was also a mistake made by Namajunas in holding on to that position.
100%. 100%.
If she would have let go, she would have landed that way. She would have landed on her back. And
yeah.
Who knows what would have happened from there, mm-hmm. but it wouldn't have been that crazy neck knockout on her dome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. All I can say in response, and I know you already agree with me too, is that
Valentina's a savage.
We are talking about one of the most talented mixed martial artists on the planet. And just to specify for any new listeners that might not know, I don't mean in the women's division of UFC. I mean one of the most talented mixed martial artists on the planet. Valentina Shevchenko is on a whole nother fucking level. I think she'd mop the floor with Rose. She'd mop the floors. I just don't see it happening. I see her losing if she makes some kind of mistake.
That's what I'm saying.
Gets cocky, if she somehow overlooks Andrade.
Mm-hmm.
If she's on
her game, never overlooked anybody.
She's never even come close to thinking maybe she did.
She's lost like one round in her last like six fights.
And she's just been masterful.
Yeah.
Like, so I agree. And if it was anybody else that was champ, maybe Andrade would be able to beat her. But I don't see it happening unless some shocking things occur.
Mm-hmm.
And I am excited to see another masterful performance from Shevchenko.
Well, I think it's a double-edged sword for Andrade because she's extremely powerful. But if we've seen Shevchenko fight against people who are like thought they were dangerous like that and got fucking sent home.
Yeah, crying. She's got a real high. Not necessarily super skilled, but her fight IQ is extremely high. And I don't think we've seen everything she has to offer either. I think she's similar to like John Jones in that way. Now, Jones gets a lot of heat because some of the closest of his last fight, so that part's not comparable. She's still blowing everybody away for the most part.
Yeah.
But that thing where you just don't know if you've seen somebody's peak yet or every facet of their game,
mm-hmm.
and no, I don't think we have. She's a very, very unique talent.
Mm-hmm. Well, yep. And then one of my favorites of the – who are you going with? Valentina, obviously?
Oh, yes. I think, honestly, I don't think this is going to be... I think it's going to be a whooping.
Well, now we'll move on to my favorite fight of the night, honestly. It's Uriah Hall taking on Chris Weidman.
185 pounds.
185 pounds.
That's a fight. Chris Weidman, the former champ, of course, famously beaten Anderson Silva twice. Had his ups and downs since then. Uriah Hall, clearly you can say the same thing, chock full of talent, never made it to championship level, of course, but some very famous knockouts of his own, especially on the Tough. We were talking about that show earlier.
Yeah, probably the most devastating knockout I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was one of the knockouts where I was genuinely scared for the guy that they immediately rushed to the hospital. And, like, nobody was cheering. Everybody was like, oh, is he alive? Like, did he just kill it? Was it Andrew Richardson that he hit? I can't remember. He got fucking murked, though. That guy's still asleep. I mean, it's an epic. I mean, if you haven't seen it, folks, you need to go to YouTube and check Uriah Hall, Tough, TUF, knockout.
Yeah.
You'll see him.
It's the most devastating thing you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah. You could have heard a pin drop when that shit happened. I mean, that KO was so bad, you can argue that fucked up Uriah Hall's career.
Low key.
Because he's like and I don't mean this in the most respectful way, but he's like a sensitive dude. Mm-hmm. Like, he cares about people. He doesn't want to be mean. Like, he doesn't fight with anger. Like, he tries to be, like, a nice guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, a big deal for him. And he's openly admitted to having issues with fighting because it's kind of, like, a mean sport. Mm-hmm. And he was so worried about hurting people.
The meanest, actually.
Like, legit worried about hurting someone like that he held himself back in fights.
Yeah.
Like, that's how fucking crazy that knockout was.
Yeah.
But I like this fight, too, because he's having a bit of a rebound. He's, like, he's a little more nasty, a little more tougher these days.
He's coming off the knockout win over Anderson.
Yeah. And he's he's been on point, and Weidman is in dire need of a win here.
Well, you know what I like? Uriah's getting these kind of fights, too, because he spent the last year and a half living in his fucking gym because he couldn't go home to his family because he wasn't sure if he could be spreading COVID and shit. So he slept and lived inside the gym for a year and a half.
Really? I didn't know that.
Trying to get fights. That's when the Yoel fight fell out, when the Jacare fight fell out. All those fights fell out. He was living in his gym the whole time.
Well, that'll. I don't want to say toughen you up. Like, he's not weak, but I'm just saying that'll. When you get that kind of hunger, it can overcome any qualms you might have about punching another person in the face.
Yeah, true.
You know, and he seems like he's tuned in a little bit more to that fighter instinct, and he's got a ton of talent. Like, I think this is the type of fight that Weidman needs as well, because it's not a former world champ or a top five guy he's fighting, but Uriah Hall is still a dangerous fight. And if Weidman is washed up.
Still matters, too. Like, like, both these guys are, like.
They're relevant in the division.
Yeah, they're still relevant. Yeah, 100%.
And Weidman is in, not a do or die, but it's just, if he wants to maintain that relevancy, he needs wins here.
Yeah. Well, he's coming off his last
win. He got that win, yeah.
He got that win, but that wasn't, like, super duper impressive.
No.
He took some big shots and was able to overcome that guy.
Yeah, his wrestling pulled him through on there, thankfully. So. But I like that fight, too, man. That's a great fight. I'm going to go with Chris Weidman here, ultimately.
I think Uriah Hall is going to win.
I like Weidman. I'm even going to break up my Weidman Reebok UFC gear.
It's Venom now, dog. What'd
you think of the Venom gear, man?
They're all right.
But it's like whatever.
It's like the same thing. It kind of looks like the same thing, which is a different design.
Yeah, it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I want to make a side note real quick while I'm thinking about it. Because it kind
of
ties in.
It's got a lot of colors. A lot more different colors, I guess.
When Dana White made this transition to get rid of the fighter sponsors, he famously said, "I don't like our fighters looking like NASCAR cars. When they're in the ring, it looks unprofessional. When they're in the cage, I'm sorry, right?"
Yeah.
And I could not help but think about that watching this last card. When you look at the fucking UFC mat, which just used to say UFC in the middle, how many fucking ads are on this mat that looks exactly like what? A NASCAR car.
Yeah. Exactly. Good point.
It's pretty ironic, man.
Yeah, that is ironic.
And I mean, that's how they wound up with the Reebok uniforms anyways. I hope Venom makes better gear. I didn't see. I saw the new stuff and was like, okay, whatever. I mean, it's not.
It just looks the same.
It looks like the same shit. It's like they just tweaked it.
It looks like the same, but like the fighters get to choose whatever color shorts they want.
Yeah, and instead of it
wasn't
being like.
It wasn't like, you know, the Reebok one was like based on where they were from and like the countries and stuff. Like,
yeah, I hate like that.
They didn't have that with the Venom ones.
Yeah, thank God. I didn't like that.
Nah. It's, I mean, I don't really care. It doesn't matter either.
I don't like it because of outside things of MMA.
Yeah.
That when I, it just, I don't just, I'm tired of division all over the place. Like, let's just be fighters. I don't have to
True.
Oh, it's an American versus a Russian. Or just,
yeah, true. I feel you.
Dude, we get divided enough. Can we just be, let's just fight, please. They're already fighting. You don't need to
leave. True. True.
And that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But I felt like they just took the Reebok designs, and where like Reebok had like a solid color block.
Yeah, they were like,
they like put like a smoke pattern slightly into the the color block.
Yep.
And they were like, ta-da.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't hate it.
I mean, there's only so much you can do with it ultimately.
The pay structure is a joke, dude. They added like $500 here and there.
Yeah, it's like, God.
Doesn't even keep up with inflation, let alone the fact that UFC sold for $4 billion during this course of time. But anyways, let's circle back here to the fights. I'm picking Weidman. You're picking Uriah Hall.
Moving on to the next one.
There's a couple other good fights on here, yeah.
Yep. We got Jimmy Crute taking on Anthony Lionheart Smith.
Man, speaking of somebody who needs a win here, yeah. Lionheart.
That's what? He's lost two in a row?
Yeah, three followed, and I think maybe he won one, and then he lost a couple before then, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he lost to Jones, beat Gus, lost to Rakic, lost to fucking Thiago Santos.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think he's lost three or four.
Yeah, he needs a win.
Yeah.
He's fighting a dangerous guy. Jimmy Crute's
fucking good, man.
Yeah.
People sleep on him because he's a little bit younger, but, like, he's very well-rounded. His jiu-jitsu is super underrated, and he can knock you out at any time.
I seem to remember him having some pretty powerful kicks as well.
Yeah, he's got some good kicks as well.
Yeah. he's a fucking game for
he's
real.
He's tough.
I think this will be more of a measuring stick of where Anthony Lionheart Smith is at.
You think
if he's still going to be somewhat of a force in the division, or if we're just going to see him really?
You think he down. There's a chance he goes back to 185 pounds?
I don't know. He doesn't look like he has a lot of weight to lose. I mean,
yeah,
he's
true.
A big,
he's
lanky
well.
Guy who's filled out pretty well at 205.
Yeah,
and he's always pretty cut, you know. And we've seen him, you know, in person as well. He's large.
He's a big
fucking dude.
Yeah.
I was surprised he could get to 85. Honestly.
Yeah. True.
So.
True.
I'm gonna pick Lionheart. And that's mainly a sentimental pick, honestly.
I'm picking Lionheart, but I think it could come down to experience, you know.
Yeah, it could, and he's got a ton of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of great submissions. He's been in world championship fights. I hope he just corrects the ship and gets a big win here. Shit.
Yeah. True.
Man, this thin mint cookie is good that we're smoking. I gotta say.
Yeah.
I'm digging both these strains.
Me too. Well, let's close out this card with the main event of our prelims. We got Cowboy Oliveira taking on Randy Brown, which is another – it's a good fight, man.
It's a good fight, man. This is at 170.
Right? Yeah.
So, Randy Brown coming off the Contender Series, right?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so, actually. I think he was just on.
No.
I don't know. You know what he was? Not the Contender Series. He was on Dana White looking for a fight.
Oh, that's right. Looking for a fight. I remember. I was thinking, man, I remember watching him. And
yeah,
he
yeah,
was
yeah.
telling Dana. No, you're right. It was looking
for
a fight.
Looking
for a because I've never actually watched the Contender Series. But I watched the fuck out of Looking for a Fight. I've seen all the eps. And that's where I know Randy Brown from. Yeah. I like him, dude. I would like to see him get the win here. But Cowboy Oliveira is a tough fighter. He's a little underrated, I think. He flies a little under the radar. Maybe it's because he's trying to hold Cowboy stick when there's another Cowboy at 170. Like, you got to find something else, bro.
And they fought before, Cowboy versus Cowboy.
Right. And we know who the real Cowboy is.
And he lost. So, yeah, he's like, got to stop calling himself Cowboy.
I think so.
What's his name?
Go find your own thing now.
Yeah, what's his real name? Something Oliveira. I've always called him Cowboy.
Dude, he's Cowboy Oliveira. Oh, he's Alex.
Alex, yeah Alex.
Yeah,
he's just Alex now.
So, I'd like to see Randy get the win here, but I don't know. Cowboy Oliveira's a handful, dude.
He's game as fuck. He's always down to just throw. That's why I like him. So, yeah, I'm taking Oliveira.
I'm going to go ahead and just pick sentimental again here and go with Randy Brown. I'd like to see him get some action.
You sentimental motherfucker.
I am, man. I am. That's why I don't bet much money on this shit.
True.
It's a weekend of combat sports, quite a week in front of us of action. I'm really looking forward to it. And, hey, we've got an announcement for next week's episode, correct, my friend?
Yeah, so next week we'll be joined by London Thomas, who's a local MMA fighter. We'll be here to talk about all the outcomes of 261, kind of from a wrestler's point of view. And, yeah, we'll talk a little bit about his career and where he's going from here.
Man, that sounds awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. We hope everybody here joins us. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode. If you're brand new, you can catch our show on radio, KLVMradio.com, on Tuesday nights at 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. We are also on everywhere you can get your podcasts, from Amazon to Google to everywhere in between. We've taken all that information and we've put it in a spot that we're currently updating, and they can find this all at, where's that spot, Paul?
SwapMade.com, where you can head over there, click the gear button, buy a t-shirt, and support the podcast. Thanks, everybody.
See you next week. Peace.